This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
A Gal Media property. Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Wake up!
And a good Monday to you. It is Wake Up Call, SB Nation Radio. Look, 2020, right? You can play on words with this crazy year that we've had. Whether, you know, 2020 in the eye care business makes you see clear, right? If you have 2020 vision, we say that all the time. Oh, if I have 2020 vision, I see clear. And you use it as kind of an analogy or metaphor to sort of look at things. We are looking at the year in a crazy lens, right? We have seen so many different things from what this virus has done to sports, with the way we look at sports, but also with what's going on with the social unrest. And now we're seeing things. Are we seeing things clearer? The Washington Redskins are about ready to change their name. This is something I thought I'd never see. And you know why I thought I'd never see it? Is because Daniel Snyder said it would never happen. And I kind of thought I'd take his word for it. He actually said, put it in all caps when he made the quote, that it would never happen. But it's going to happen. There's been so many different reports coming in that there has been internal meetings within that organization about changing the name. Ron Rivera, their new football coach, has said he's been working on it for about a month, almost since he's arrived there, about the discussions about changing the name. You're seeing it now with the Cleveland Indians baseball team. The conversation there, Terry Francona says that they should change their name. Are we seeing things more clearly in 2020? I mean, these issues have been around forever and ever and ever. I mean, the Redskins issue comes up, it disappears, it comes up, it disappears. It's been going on for decades. But is this the year that finally people have said, maybe there is something to this? Maybe we really should be changing the name. Now, in Daniel Snyder's situation, it's possible that more economics are driving this than any sort of thought process into whether or not the name is offensive and who are we offending, and maybe we should change it because it is offensive. It's more about economics. Once FedEx got involved and said, hey, change it, now you're starting to see some other companies that have done business with the Redskins say, we got to change it. But now that the process has started, what will happen? Dave Preston's going to join us in this on the show today, coming up in the next hour from Washington, so we get the perspective. Because it's one thing for a lot of people on the outside of the fan base to say it, but what about the fan base itself? Is this something that they want? We'll be continuing the conversation this morning, but coming up, the curious case of Bryson DeChambeau, hero or villain on the PGA Tour, because it's not just about winning anymore.
You're listening to Wake Up Call, presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us on Wake Up Call, SB Nation Radio. Hit us up on Twitter at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. All right, so at PGA Tour, the Rocket Mortgage Classic in Detroit was won by Bryson DeChambeau. Bryson DeChambeau has been making a lot of headlines, not just because he put on 40 pounds of muscle, and is now destroying the golf ball at an alarming rate. We'll get to that in a second. But on Saturday, he was upset because there was a camera operator, that was filming him while he was in a bunker, and he hit it badly out of the bunker and flung his club, and then the camera operator followed him because, you know, when a golfer does that, it's going to, especially in a broadcast, you're going to want to catch it and follow up. So he was very angry at this, right? And he spoke to Will Gray of the Golf Channel. He said, sir, what is it that you need me to watch that? What do you need to watch me that long? He was telling the cameraman. He said, I mean, I understand it's job to video me, but at the same point, I think we need to start protecting our players out here, comparing to showing a potential vulnerability and hurting someone's image. I don't think that's necessarily the right thing to do. Well, he went on to win the tournament, so his image got a lot better. Won $1.3 million in a tournament with no fans. He's hitting the ball a mile. He's used the science of the sport to his advantage. But at the same time, we don't like golfers who do this, even if it makes a little bit of sense. Because the good comes with the bad in sports all the time. And we don't like to think of athletes as brands, right? Even though they're wearing brands all over them. We just don't like to view athletes promoting products and walking billboards. We want to see them as athletes to criticize and praise, right? When they do great, we want to praise them. When they don't do great and they screw up, we openly criticize, but on the professional level anyway. But DeChambeau has changed the game of golf. And I know some of you out there are like, I don't like golf. I don't care about golf. But here's the thing. Think about this in any other sports context. Think about it if there was an athlete that somehow, a basketball player, let's say, who could grow, who could purposely grow themselves to be 9.5 feet tall. Right? Think of a football player, a running back, let's say, who purposely could, with proper training, run the 100-yard dash in 6 seconds. Right, Bryson DeChambeau is hitting the ball 380 yards. He's hitting it 375. Right, he's tearing up these golf courses because he's used science. He knew that if he bulked up, if he kept his flexibility, and he could manipulate the golf club to a 5-degree loft, that he could hit the ball nearly 400 yards. Now, when Tiger Woods came on the scene and was doing the exact same thing to these old golf courses on the PGA Tour, they did a thing called Tiger Proofing. So all these tours had to revamp their courses. They had to move the tees back, they had to buy more land, reshift some holes so that they could make them longer. One of the biggest arguments against Tiger Proofing was that you weren't really doing anything because Tiger still could hit the ball a long way. And you were basically eliminating half the field. Because at the time, when Tiger was blasting at like 310, 315, and the average tour drive was like 280, 275, you were eliminating at that time almost half the field. Because those guys were like, well, shoot, if I hit it 280, I'm now hitting 4-wood into the green. I'm now hitting 3-wood into the green on par fours. Where Tiger is still going to hit 6-iron or 5-iron or possibly 7-iron when he used to hit wedge. Now you're taking me out of the hole. So the tour can't do anything in terms of length. DeChambeau is going to set off a trend. Other golfers are going to follow this, especially the young ones. When you change the game at the professional level to a certain extent, there's always going to be followers because they now know how to be competitive. It's the argument we made against steroids. When people said, well, steroids doesn't help you hit a baseball, it didn't matter. Once the establishment of Major League Baseball was you need to take steroids to be at a certain level, it was just going to trickle down to the minors and high school baseball. And it's going to be the same way in golf. Once people realize, hey, wait a minute, I need a fitness routine like him. I may not be able to put 40 pounds on, but I need to be able to do what he's doing. Because if every hole for him is just simply a drive, pitch, and putt, then I can't compete. He finished 23 under par at this Detroit golf club. He shot a 65 on Sunday and made it look easy. He's changed the game. So in a one way, again, complaining and whining that you threw your golf club and a cameraman was following you is not going to warm him to any sort of fan base. And maybe it doesn't matter. But the larger issue of Bryson DeChambeau is that golf is going to be heading into some troubled waters here because this is going to get boring. It's fun when these guys make birdies, but we want them to make birdies in a difficult way. We don't want them driving par fours all the time. The first couple of times, it's awesome. You see videos of it. You go, oh, look at that. Look what Bubba Watson did, or look what Phil Mickelson did, or look what Bryson DeChambeau did. They drove a par four. But when it becomes routine, ask yourself how many videos would excite you seeing that over and over again. What if 7 or 8 guys in the field are doing it on a particular day? What if 15 are doing it? What if 25 are doing it? Then it becomes routine. And then it becomes boring. And then the challenge of the sport is gone. We like to see athletes do things at the highest possible level against the highest level of competition. But golf is different because the competition is not only the other athletes, the other golfers, but it's also the course in which they play. It's the field of play. A football field is 100 yards long, and you can put it in any stadium in America, and that's it. The competition is the defense or the offense of which you're going against. But in golf, the course matters. The terrain matters. whether it's Augusta National, Pebble Beach, or the Detroit Golf Club. You're going up against the element of the playing field, and he's destroying that. And it's amazing to me that the conversation about throttling back the ball, right, so it doesn't go as far, some conversation, which has been going on for a while, when Nicholas came out, when John Daly came out, when Tiger Woods came, we've had this conversation about the golf ball and technology in golf forever, and Bryson DeChambeau might be the villain right now because of the way he kind of whined, but also be the hero of a sport that changes for the entertainment of the sport. I used to watch those long-distance driving contests on ESPN at like 2 in the morning, right, where you'd get guys and they're like, it's the Callaway Remax long driving contest from Henderson, Nevada. And you get these guys, and they got long golf shafts, and they're hitting it 400 yards. And you always wonder, if one of these guys put themselves together an all-around game, could chip, could putt, could hit irons, could get out of trouble, who could work the ball left or right, instead of just hitting the ball as hard as they possibly can in these tournaments, what if one of these guys actually had the all-around game to compete on tour, how they would dominate? That answer is Bryson DeChambeau, because he's now on that level. His numbers were crazy good this weekend. And he's changing the sport. He's absolutely changing the sport. He's 26. He'll be doing this for a while until his back gives out or he suffers a major injury. Because if you haven't had a chance to see his swing, I urge you to video, watch it. If you know anything about golf or played golf, watch the way this guy monsters that golf ball. How fast he's swinging that club. It's insane. But he was like a mad scientist when he was at SMU, winning the U.S. Amateur, tinkering with the physics of golf. It's kind of what he's known for. And now he's figured out a way to unleash an incredible amount of power. And golf has to answer for it because they can't have this happen. It'll be fun for like a year. But after a while, this is going to get ridiculous. We'll marvel at it until it becomes routine. All right. 800-224-2004, 800-224-2004, just getting started on a Monday. All right, the Washington Redskins could possibly change their name. The latest on that as we return on Wake Up Call.
Wake Up Call with Tony D and Ron Culver continues now. Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us. It is SB Nation Radio Wake Up Call. Again, hit us up on Twitter at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. Again, Dave Preston joins us in Hour 2. That's coming up next hour as we talk about the Redskins potentially changing their name. Again, this is something, look, he's weathered these storms before. I'm talking about owner Dan Snyder. He's weathered these before. This issue has come up for years and decades. But could this be the time that they actually do something and change the name? Hey, when you need auto parts, O'Reilly Auto is just a few clicks away. They offer convenient options for you to get your parts quickly. Order online at O'ReillyAuto.com. Pick up for free at your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store. They'll even bring it out to your curbside, or you can choose to have your parts delivered right to your door with free shipping on most orders over $35. Get your auto parts quickly with O'Reilly Auto Parts. Visit O'ReillyAuto.com today. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Ron Culver, I have a kind of a not hilarious story, but an interesting story from over the weekend. My wife and daughter went to the mall on Saturday.
Uh-oh.
On 4th of July.
You still have an account?
At the mall? Yeah. Well, so yeah, because we were like, yeah, let's go to the mall. It's like hot and let's go walk around a little bit. I haven't gone to the mall in a long time. And so we said, yeah, we got to go pick up some things. So we went there. So we were walking through the mall and it dawned on us, oh, we're not wearing masks. We got to go. Everyone else is wearing masks and we're not wearing masks. And
we forgot. You're those people.
Right. So I said, all right, we got to go get some. So we wanted to go in the store and the store had a sign right outside of the door that says, you need a mask to enter. And my wife goes, no, let's just get out of here. Let's go. And I said, no, we want to go into that store. It's a cool store. It's got a bunch of, it's like a pop culture store.
Okay.
And I said, you wanted to go in here. I said, we got to go in here. So I said, let's just find a store that sells masks. I'll just buy 3 of them and we'll get done with it. So we walked around, couldn't find anybody was selling masks, which, I, by the way, the mask business is exploding.
Yeah.
Like,
and you couldn't find one?
I mean, couldn't find one. And I was like, this is amazing. I can't find masks at the mall. Right? So I went up to the cookie place, the place that sells, like, delicious cookies, right, at the food court. And I went up to the employee and said, do you provide masks for all the employees? And she goes, yeah. And I go, can I buy three of them? I'll pay $5 a piece. She goes, oh, let me ask my manager. So she asked the manager. Manager goes, sure. So I give him $15. It's a little pricey to pay for a cloth mask, but I don't care. I was like, I want to go to this store. So I gave her 50, which, by the way, they probably just should have said, here, take them for free, since I'm trying to, you know. But whatever. So I wear.
They'll do that the next time around.
So my wife, goes, oh, thanks, that's great. I said, no, I said, you wanted to go to the store. I got you a mask. Yeah, cost me $15, whatever. We go into the store, and we're looking around. This is really awesome. Great. We're going to buy this. We're going to get this. We're going to get that. Then I see a sign that says, we'll gladly provide masks to all of our customers who would like to shop here.
Of course.
And I was like, you got to be kidding. I was like, why isn't that sign outside where the sign is that says, don't even think about entering the store without a mask? And then I have to go a couple of feet in to notice the other sign that says you'll gladly give me one for free to shop around, a disposable one for free. I was like, thanks. So I asked my kids, I was like, you know, I'm taking up a $15 collection. So, you know, if you want to just put a little money in the change jar, help me out a little bit. So I told my wife, I said, you work at an eye doctor place. I said, do you guys have masks? She goes, yeah. I said, can you get some in bulk for us so we can just leave them in cars, like the two cars that we have? Just buy a bunch of disposable ones and then we'll just leave them in the car. So wherever we go, there's always one around in case we're driving and we forget them.
See, that's what I have. I have one in my car.
Yeah, just a package of disposable masks or one mask?
I just have one mask.
Okay.
That I just leave on the gear shift knob. Or whatever, stick or whatever you want to call it. I just leave it there. I just leave it on that. And
yeah, but what do you do with your family's masks? So you put them all in little places for them to have?
My wife always has those.
Well, that's my thing, because we always bring them in to wash them, and then we just leave them on the thing to dry out. Then when we leave, we run out, and we kind of forget. Because we don't go out very often, so we're always, like, forgetting.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're like, whoops. So my wife's just going to leave a bunch of disposable ones in the car, so you can just throw them away.
That's smart.
Be done with them. Yeah, she says you should get a pack of like 50 for $17.
Yeah, through medical.
Yeah, so yeah. I'm like, all right. I said, just tell your
boss.
We
did that with gloves. You know, for a while. I mean, we were buying gloves for a while, and then all the stores ran out of gloves. And my wife befriended her hairdresser.
And she got a bunch there.
And the hairdresser was like, oh yeah, I can get you gloves for real cheap. And so she gave us like this two huge boxes of like 250 each.
Yeah, that's good. See,
that's perfect.
Perfect. That's perfect.
Now we just have a big box of gloves because, you know, we're not really, I don't ever wear gloves anymore.
Yeah, I stopped wearing that. I stopped doing that. The masks I'm fine with. The gloves I couldn't do. And I was like, that's enough. I couldn't do the gloves. I don't like the feeling.
Well, what I want to do, if I was going to get gloves, and if gloves start making a comeback.
Yeah,
I found a place online that will sell me the tattoo parlor gloves.
Oh, that's good. Those are good.
Yeah, because they're black.
Yeah,
and I'm like, all right, now these look cool.
Those are good.
These look hardcore.
Absolutely.
That's what I want. I want gloves that make me look hardcore.
All right, so the Washington Redskins could be no more. They could be changing their name. It looks like there's momentum to do it within the organization. There was a release, a statement that the organization put out. Usually they have ignored this. Right. Here's how it works. It's always worked with them. Major social outcry. They don't do anything. It goes away and everybody forgets about it for a while until it returns. And then it returns. Another organization will chime in and say, oh, no, you got to change the name. And then you'll hear the outcry again. And then the writers and broadcasters say they'll never say the name and we'll never refer to them as their name. They'll be the NFL team from Washington or they'll just call them Washington. But the team doesn't make a budge. They don't do anything. But in this case, because of some economic pressure or, you know, maybe Dan Snyder just had a change of heart, right? He's actually they're actually having conversations about changing the name, right? So Ron Rivera had a quote in the press release that was really interesting to me. It said, quote, this issue is of personal importance to me, and I look forward to working closely with Dan Snyder to make sure we continue the mission of honoring and supporting Native Americans and our military. Now, of course, it's great when you want to say that you support the military, But was that put in for a reason? Just to make sure everybody knows that we support the military in case you were forgetting that we support the military? Because this doesn't seem to be a military issue. It just seems to be an issue about Native Americans. I mean, it seemed like an out of place quote.
I thought the same thing. I was like, oh, or the way I was looking at it is like, oh, is that a hint?
Yeah, is that a hint?
Is he dropping a hint at what the new name's going to be?
That might be the case. That's a good point. So now all these people are throwing out their names. Now they're saying fans are submitting new names.
Yeah, seen a bunch of them.
My question is, I'm going to ask Dave Preston this from WTOP from Washington next hour. It is one thing when you have outcry across the country, Seahawk fans, Packer fans, but they're not buying the merchandise, right? They're not watching the Redskins on a day-to-day basis. They're not supporting the team. They don't root for the team.
They're not fans.
They're just screaming that it should be changed like they always have been. You all know this. I mean, this has been an issue for decades.
Yeah, wasn't right? That was like the first issue he had when he bought the team?
Right, back in 99.
Yeah, that was the
was whether or not he was going to change the name.
Yeah, you're going to change the name?
Yeah. And it's, again, he said, just to be clear, we will never change the name, and you can put that in all caps. We will never change the name. Yeah,
and he said the right things. And when he looked at it, he said, you know, we're going to talk to, you know, local politicians or, you know, local tribesmen. But he also mentioned, he's like, we're going to talk to Redskins alumni.
Right,
so I'm
sure.
Certain that, you know, he's calling up Joe Theismann and saying, hey, what do you think?
And so my question is then what about the fan base? What about the people that are buying your tickets and buying your merchandise and supporting your team and doing all – do they want this? And if they don't, you just do it anyway and hope they're just on board because where else are they going to go? Or do you say, look, it's – you know, it's one thing for, again, we've heard it all before, and I'm not changing it. I've looked into it. I'm not changing it. There has been no indication from the organization, the quotes from Dan Snyder, Ron Rivera, anybody within Washington, that this is going to go the same way. There seems to be more indication that a change is coming than any other time that I've seen this issue pop up in the NFL. I've never seen a statement from them saying they're considering it. I've never seen a statement from them saying, we're having dialogue about this. It has always been an emphatic, thanks, but no thanks. We're keeping it, so be quiet. Even when there was a ruling in 2014 that said they don't even own the right to the logo, that people can make off-brand merchandise with the logo, and they still went, nah. The economic pressure on this team and coming from the league in general, just must be too significant. Now, listen, I don't want to just say, look, I don't know Dan Snyder. I've heard all of the horror stories. Everybody else has heard about him, about how, you know, he's got to ride in an elevator by himself and, you know, all of those things, right? So I don't want to say that Dan Snyder is only about economics when it comes to this story. That maybe, again, through the lens of 2020, he might be saying, well, you know what? Maybe it is time to do this. Ron Rivera has said he's been working on it longer than the outcry, like before the outcry, before coronavirus even. Like as soon as he got to the Redskins, he's been on the warpath, so to speak, to get the name changed. But could we give Snyder the benefit of the doubt here? Or do you think it's economics with FedEx wanting to pull out, with all the other sponsors? There's other minority owners in the organization. People who have a smaller stake in the organization are threatening to sell. Does Snyder, is he feeling the pull of the dollar rather than the pull of the social conscience? That's what I'm kind of feeling out with this. Because maybe he is just looking at it through a different light rather than stating, oh, well, economics is at work here, so I better just do it because I care about, at the end, the almighty dollar. We shall see where this is going. But it could be, the new name could be in place by the time the season starts. I wonder what that will look like. All right, we'll continue with Wake Up Call here at SB Nation Radio.
listening to Wake Up Call, presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, Michael on Twitter. My wife and I went to IKEA, got there 30 minutes early because of the long lines. While in line, there was a sign stating mandatory masks. I drove around looking for masks and found some at CVS. When opening the door, a guy was handing them out for free. Same story. I never felt like... At the time, I was proud of myself that I got it done with paying $15 at the cookie store to buy their employee issued masks. I felt like I had done something cool, you know, like, yeah, we want to go shopping. I went out and got it done. Walked in there, they were like, yeah, just ask for one. Free mask. Shop at your heart's content on us. Here's your mask. There was a guy in there not wearing one. The woman asked him to, and he freaked out. I was like, oh gosh. My first instinct was to grab my camera and film it, but
I said, no. I don't get why people freak out.
I don't. I'm not understanding that aspect of it. I'm not understanding the freak out.
I don't see how it's infringing your freedom.
Yeah. It's like, you know, if you don't want to wear it, don't wear it. But don't go into the store. If the store says you have to wear it, you can't go in the store. It's, you know, it's simple.
Yeah, store policy. They have the right to say that. Find a store that doesn't require it, then you can go
exactly.
In there.
So did you have a good 4th of July? Did you enjoy the fireworks festivities? Did they have any in Houston?
No, they didn't have any, so we had our own.
Oh, did you? That's good.
Yep. So we just did, you know, I had gotten these artillery shells, that's what they're called, where they launch them into the sky.
Yeah.
And in the years past, I always got the smaller ones, right? Because I'm a little nervous. I'm in a neighborhood. I don't want to burn a house down. That's my thing.
Right.
You know? People have other things. My thing is I don't want to burn other people's houses down.
Sure. It's one I don't want to do.
So I'd gotten the smaller ones. This time around, we went and looked, and there was this guy who was next to me. He's like, yeah, give me one of those, one of those, one of those. He wanted a variety pack. And I was like, you know, I said, okay, I'm going to do the same. It's an impulse buy. It's like I was checking out of the supermarket, and I was like, you know what? I need those three things too. And they were bigger. And as we're driving home, I got nervous. I was like, what did I buy? Because I have no idea what these things look like when they explode. All I know is that they're, you know, five times the size of what I've normally gotten in the past. And so I was a little nervous. And then,
so were you doing like the metrics? Like, okay, if it goes this far, it could land on Joanne's house over there.
Yeah, exactly.
Or Michael's house over there.
And you know, the problem was, I mean, it's a decent sized neighborhood, and where we used to live before we moved to this neighborhood, where we used to live, there was a cul-de-sac. So I can go out in the middle of the cul-de-sac, and it's like, okay, I got room. You know, it's not going to just blow up near this person's house. I got room, and so we started off with the smaller ones. You know, the little fountains that go, and then my wife wanted to get this one. It's like a parachute, right? It's called a parachute guy or parachute.
Oh yeah, I've seen that. The little parachute guy comes out. Yeah,
but the problem was we did it twice, and each time we did it, it landed in a neighbor's backyard.
Oh yeah,
but that got me concerned about launching a bigger one, and I'm like, this small little guy went into the neighbor's backyard. They're gonna wake up in the morning and be like, hey, why do I have two parachute guys in the backyard? You know, now you know why. So I launched the first one. And you know, and there was some I was influenced a little bit, you know.
Right.
I had grown some beer muscles over the course of the day. So that, you know, where it's like, yeah, I can do it, no problem. And I launched it. I was nervous about launching it. I was like, you know, we're just gonna do it anyways. We're gonna see what happens. You know, I can do one. I'm not gonna burn a house down with just one. At least that's what I thought. Well, no, I didn't burn a house down, so that was good.
Oh, I was going to say, when you said, or so I thought, I was like, oh my God, he burned a house down. This is getting interesting.
I thought I came close. No, where the interesting part was is that I launched it, it went up into the sky, and it wasn't what I thought it was. It was literally the same thing I've always bought, just a little bit larger.
Oh, I got you.
And then all of a sudden, I was like, oh. And I'm like, this entire time, I've had a pit in my stomach this entire time because I thought I bought one of those big suckers explode and give you that big fire.
Because the packaging probably made it sound like
you look at the box.
You
look at the box, and the box shows, you know, that traditional looking firework. I thought that's what I had bought.
Yeah, sure. Why not?
I'm like, I can't believe I'm going to do this.
Exactly.
You know, our neighborhood prohibits fireworks, but everyone's doing it. So I'm just going with the flow. And I thought this one, I said, this is going to wake all the neighbors up.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm assuming they're not asleep yet, but this is the one that's going to call, you know, get everyone out. This is the one that's going to have HOAs on me, and, you know, they're all going to come and get me. And no, there was nothing.
I was very impressed by the videos that I was seeing because of different cities where there was no official fireworks,
yeah.
but people did it on their own.
Especially L.A.
Los Angeles was the perfect example.
See, that one's always
the
best.
But here's the thing. It's one thing to say, like Nashville canceled official fireworks, but they didn't stop people from blowing up their town. You know, I mean, you could launch them all you want.
Yeah.
But Los Angeles, it was illegal.
Yeah, it's illegal.
To let off fireworks.
See, what's
and
funny
people
is,
were like, screw it, I'm doing it anyway. And the whole city was lit up like a Christmas tree on the 4th of July.
Here's a little backstory. That happens every 4th of July.
So wait a minute, but what?
Every 4th of July, it looks like that. Now,
but why was it illegal to launch fireworks?
Well, it's illegal in the city of, it's illegal in the city of LA because we have, they have such bad wildfires. And I have seen it. I mean, because it's, you know, the summer is there. It's always really dry. There's a lot of brush.
Because the way people were presenting it was because of the virus. Because we always get the videos from L.A., but we never get the tweet that says, by the way, this is illegal in 2004, 2005, 2007, 2008.
They've been illegal as long as I can remember.
It has been still
illegal,
doing that.
It's been illegal in the county of Los Angeles for as long as I can remember. What's funny, though, is that you go to the next county over, like where Palmdale or Lancaster is, which is – I can't remember what that county is, but that's literally, you know, 20 miles outside of L.A. There's fireworks stands all over the place because they're out in the desert.
Sure.
So you can launch them out there.
Sure.
But it's always been – it's been illegal in L.A. I don't remember – ever. I lived there. I moved to L.A. in 1987, and I don't remember ever seeing a fireworks stand from the moment I got there because it was always illegal. We would have to go to Palmdale and just go get some sparklers or whatever. We never got anything extravagant. But it's funny because where my mom lives, we were there for a July 4th. Where she lives now, she sits up on a cliff that overlooks the San Fernando Valley, and it's one of the best places to go watch fireworks.
Fantastic.
Because
it looked
great.
I mean, it looked great from the video.
You
so.
Just sit in the backyard and you look over, you know, her view is the entire San Fernando Valley, and you just see fireworks going off all over the place.
Wow.
So, I mean, I think it looked like in that video, I don't know if they just caught it at the right time. It looked like there was more or just the way their camera was positioned, they picked up more. But that's par for the course.
That's awesome. That was great.
Well, yeah, it's fantastic.
I'm glad people were doing it. Yeah. I'm just glad. It's always fun.
I've seen it. There was one July 4th, I remember, where somebody launched it.
So why do they even bother? Why don't they even bother? Why don't they just say, you know what, it's illegal, but screw it. You guys are doing it anyway, and there's too many of you to catch, so just go have fun.
Because if you do that, then more people will do it.
But it looks like a lot of people were doing
it. A lot of people are doing it. It's usually like one house, and you know they have all their friends over, and they're doing fireworks shows.
Come crying to us when the wildfires eat your house.
Yeah. I think it's wildfires and the fact that people are irresponsible and blow themselves up.
Yeah, that's wild.
I think it's both of those. Because the other thing that used to be not a cool thing to do, but a thing that was done, I don't know how much it's done now. It used to be done on 4th of July and New Year's. People used to just fire their guns in the air. Yeah. It used to be done on 4th of July and New Year's Day. They would just, you know, go outside, fire their guns up in the air, and you would hear the pop, pop, pops.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, I hope everybody had a good 4th of July and a safe 4th of July.
Hey, I still have 10 fingers, so I'm feeling
listen,
pretty
I love,
good.
Listen, I love fireworks. I think they're cool. But my thing is that here's two things that I think people need to stop doing. Stop filming your fireworks and posting on social media. Listen. You can take the same video from 5 years ago and post it today. Nobody knows the difference.
Yep.
The fireworks haven't gotten better. In fact, it's the same fireworks that has been around since I was a kid that's been around longer than me. Like, there's no new technology in fireworks. They're not throwing up different shapes. They're not throwing up different colors. It's the same, boom, 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 same starburst fireworks that go on every single year. It's the same thing. You've seen one. You've seen every single one of them. The only thing that's different is maybe this one's to music. Maybe there's a lot more. Maybe the pattern is different. But as far as the actual boom, shakalaka, boom, it's the exact same fireworks you saw 25, 30, 30, 40 years ago.
You know which video I love and it makes its rounds every time this time of year? Is that failed fireworks show in San Diego.
Yeah, that's the best.
That's the best
great,
one.
Because it's all at once.
Yeah. And that's right? The one, you know what? That's the one I want to see every single year.
Right.
You know, because that one was a unique thing. If you happen to be in San Diego when that fireworks show went off, that was fascinating. I would have been scared to death. But
what exactly happened? The timer went off? The timer failed on all of them and they just all blew up at the same time?
I think it was human error.
Yeah, I think so too.
He hit the wrong button that said launch them all.
There was a launch all button. How fantastic is that?
That's what I want. What I imagine was that he pushed the red button under the glass case.
Right. See, that's the thing. Now, if you're telling me there's a button that launches all the fireworks, that reminds me of every movie where the villain has got the do not touch button, destroy plan button.
There was
and
two
then
guys.
Some reporter goes, let's see what this does. Boom.
Yeah, there were two guys. They inserted their key at the same time, turned to the right at the same time, hit the red button, and then we have a spectacular show that lasted 30 seconds. Actually, it's about a minute-long video.
That is wild.
I'd have been scared to death because, you know, the thing is, like, the video that we see is across San Diego Bay. And that part of the – so you can sit there. It's near Seaport Village. There's some grass lawn that you can sit in. They do concerts out there as well. And you're looking over because I'm pretty certain they were blasting them off from Coronado, the island Coronado, which is not really an island, but that's not the point. And they were you can sit there and you watch them across the bay, and it's a beautiful show. I always think about the people on the other side.
Oh, yeah, good point.
You know, there are people who will post up next to where the fireworks are, you know, bring out their lawn chairs, sit along the bay and get ready to watch a spectacular show. How fast were they running?
Oh, I bet.
When that thing started going off, because you don't know. You don't know if it's all of a sudden going to be like an atomic bomb going off.
Yeah, no kidding. It's great. That's a great piece of video. I hope everybody had a good 4th of July. All right, coming up, what else went on the 4th of July on Saturday? We got to touch on it. The great Joey Chestnut did it again. Next on Wake Up Call.
Wake Up Call with Tony D and Ron Culver continues now. Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, this hour of Wake Up Call presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Joey Chestnut, 75 hot dogs in 10 minutes. Indoors within the plexiglass safety measures.
I was glued.
It was amazing.
I was trying to get people to come down and watch with me. Nobody wanted to watch with me. I'm by myself. I'm like, guys, come on. This is American tradition.
Now, I caught it late. Was there a reason Matt Stoney wasn't part of it? I thought Matt Stoney was part of it.
I didn't hear. I mean, we all know it was by invite only.
Invite only. I thought he was going.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe
he had no competition.
Did he qualify? I mean, was there a qualifier that he didn't attend?
I don't know. He at one time had the record before Chestnut broke it again.
Yeah. I have no idea why I was there.
It's the most disgusting thing on TV.
Oh, it is. But it's fantastic.
Unbelievable.
It's just absolutely phenomenal.
It's unbelievable. George Shea, the barker, was doing doing his best. He had no crowd, right? He had no audience to play to.
Yeah.
He's just playing in front of the TV cameras.
So I'm watching the broadcast. At one point, George goes, like he hit a wall. And I'm like, you're standing behind him. You're supposed to be pumping him up. Come on.
Right, come on.
No athlete wants to hear they're sucking at that moment.
Exactly. There was the only storyline in that entire hot dog eating 10 minutes was whether or not he was going to break the record or not. There was nobody behind him.
They would show other people, and you're like, I don't even care. I don't even know who that guy is.
I mean, he was secretariat at the Belmont. I mean, he was miles ahead of everybody else.
So my question is, does it count?
Yeah, well, that's the thing, right? Yeah, does it count?
I think we should count the 75.
Yeah.
I think we should count the fact that he finished off, that he hit 1,000 hot dogs in his career.
That's pretty amazing.
Yeah. I started doing the math. I was talking to my brother about this, and I was like, I don't think I've had 1,000 hot dogs in my life.
It's possible that we haven't eaten that many hot dogs ever.
You know.
All the years we lived and all the times we've had hot dogs.
I mean, I figured, 20 a year is a pretty safe number, right?
That's right, yeah.
You know, I might have had more in some years. In some years, I might have had less. So I figure 20 is an average hot dog eating year. I don't know. Maybe I have had more, but you know, over the course of my lifetime, that's only, you know, it's probably like 800 hot dogs.
Yeah.
I don't even think I've hit 1,000, and this guy's hit 1,000 in 13 years or 15 years or something.
It's amazing. Amazing. He's wolfing down them. And those are competition dogs.
Yeah.
Not to mention how many dogs he's eaten just on his own.
But the record, I don't know, because I know, and they didn't even talk about it, was the margin of victory. Because he said it last year where he was like 21 ahead of everybody else.
Right. You know, yeah, I think you're right about 21.
Yeah, I think he was. I think he had 21 more. That was the largest margin of victory. I don't think we can count this year. I don't know.
Yeah, no. There was no competition, but it was still a spectacle. You know what? I applaud them for trying to put it together. Man, I applaud them for doing it. It's a fun, goofy thing.
Yeah,
I mean,
of course.
Some people are disgusted by it, but I actually enjoy it. They could have easily canceled it, so it's not the same setting. So we're not doing it. But they, you know, they said, "Look, we can do it." You find a way. You go, "Look, we can do it indoors, invitation only, plexiglass, safety measures, social distancing, all those things. Throw it on television. It's the spectacle we all know and love."
It was awesome.
And all I kept thinking was 75 hot dogs in 10 minutes, and he looked and he was able to do an interview afterwards. Every year that he's able to do an interview, I'd be like, "Hey, listen, you're going to have to come to me in like 4 hours, all right? Bathroom in 4 hours. Don't ask, and then I'll come out and talk." But he just goes right out and be like, "Yeah, I'm fine, blah, 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 blah." Great job, Joey Chestnut.